evening. Apostles. Who were these men? What was their purpose? And do we need them today? In the New Testament, the word apostle comes about 80 times. I didn't go count them, Philip. I saw that in a book. And if one studies the text, one can find out that these are individuals that have been chosen and sent out on a mission. As a matter of fact, Jesus was called an apostle. Barnabas and Paul at one time were called the apostles of a church that had sent them out. And, of course, we have our 12 apostles, which you sing every Sunday morning. Can you do it without singing? And then, of course, the Apostle Paul, who Paul says of himself, he was one of late birth. An apostle is a commissioned agent, or an ambassador, so to speak. He performs an act in the authority and name of someone else. The word apostle is primarily used when talking about the apostles of Jesus Christ with 12 particular men. And then, of course, later Paul. Their original number was 12. You know, and what Mike just read, there was only 11 of them. Why? Yeah, Judas had killed himself. And so in our story, they replaced him. And the question is, should we be replacing apostles today? Ruth shakes her head. No. You want to come up and preach this, Ruth? No. Because there are some who teach that. Let's read Luke chapter 6, verses 1, 12 through 16. Luke 6, 12 through 16. At that time, Jesus went off to a mountain to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. The next morning, Jesus called his followers to him and chose 12 of them, whom he named apostles. Simon, Jesus named him Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who later turned Jesus over to his enemies. If you noticed, Jesus did not take lightly the task of choosing apostles. What did he do? He prayed all night. Let me ask, when was the last time you prayed all night over a decision that needed to be made? But for Jesus, the choosing of the correct 12 was important. And it says, he prayed all night. Why were these men important? Why was it important that Jesus choose the correct 12? A very important role. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 21:14, does anyone know what that says, Revelation 21:14? I'll read it to you then. The walls of the city. It's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, okay? The walls of the city were built on the 12 foundation stones, and on the stones were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Isn't that interesting? The 12 foundation stones were the 12 apostles. In Ephesians 2:20, well, to verse 22. You are like a building. Now, this is Paul talking about the church there in Ephesus. You are like a building that was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself is the most important stone in that building. And that whole building is joined together in Christ. He makes it grow and become a holy temple to the Lord. And in Christ, you too are being built together with the Jews into a place where God lives through the Spirit. Now, I find it interesting. Upon what was the church built? The apostles and the prophets. Meaning, I'm assuming here, their teaching. The teaching that these men did. The number of Christ's apostles did broaden, did it not? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, reading from verse 3 to verse, I got here, verse 11. So 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to verse 11. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, He appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. So we see, first of all, that yes, Paul counted himself an apostle. And we see that Paul is saying, I and these other 12 apostles, what we preach is what you are built upon. And we're going to see that they preach the same message. They preached the same message, which was basically what he listed here in this passage, wasn't it? The teaching of the apostles was important. It was to be the foundation upon which the church was to be built. You have to have a message to build upon, and you have to have a message that is taught the same all over. So why were their words so important? What was it that they were speaking? Well, let's let Jesus tell us. Let's go to the source. And this is found in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, starting at verse 25. John 14, verse 25. I have told you all these things while I am with you, but the Helper will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all that I told you. The Helper is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. I leave you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does, so don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going, but I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you should be happy that I am going back to the Father, because He is greater than I am. Now, when I was a student, I would have loved that the Holy Spirit would have helped me in the way He helped the apostles, to remember all the words that Jesus had spoken to them. That could have come in handy on some tests, particularly some Bible tests. Or in John chapter 16, starting with verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, but they are too much for you now. And when the Spirit of truth comes, He will lead you into all truth. He will not speak His own words, for He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is to come. The Spirit of truth will bring glory to me, because He will take what I have to say and tell it to you. All that the Father has is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take what I have to say and tell it to you. See, Jesus didn't even have all the time He needed to teach all truths. And so He said, the Spirit will come and He will lead you into all truth, even these things that I did not have time to teach to you. It's something we need to remember. Will the Spirit of God bring attention and glory to Himself? No. He will bring it to the Son. Their words were important. Of such importance that Luke, when he records in Acts what the Christians, the first group of Christians in Jerusalem were studying, he says it this way. This is in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. They spent their time learning the teaching of John the Baptist. Well, some of the stuff that John taught was important. But, no, they spent their time learning the apostles' teaching, sharing, breaking bread, and praying together. The apostles were doing many miracles and signs, and everyone felt great respect for God. All the believers were together and shared everything. They would sell their land and the things they owned, and then divide the money and give it to anyone who needed it. The believers met together in the temple every day. They ate together in their homes, happy to share their food with joyful hearts. They praised God and were liked by all the people. Every day, the Lord added to those who were being saved to the group of believers. They spent their time learning what the apostles taught. And we noticed, not only did they listen and learn, what else did they do here? They enacted, they did what was taught. And it brought joy to them. You know, just look at the fruits of the Spirit. And you're going to see them in these passages just shining through. So the apostles held a very important and responsible position. They brought the words of Jesus, the plan of God, to us. These were men, at least the original 12, were men chosen by Jesus personally for this important job. They were to be witnesses for having seen Jesus and seen His resurrection and for the spreading of the gospel. They were to be blessed by the Holy Spirit that they could remember the Lord's words and that they could learn the things that Jesus did not have time to teach. The Holy Spirit would not bring attention to Himself. He would only bring glory to the Son and thereby to the Father. There was one more apostle, and we saw the Apostle Paul. Paul said, last of all, he was seen by me. This is 1 Corinthians 15:8. Last of all, he was seen by me, as by a person who was not born at the normal time. All of the other apostles are greater than I am. I am not even good enough to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But God's grace has made me what I am, and His grace to me was not wasted. I worked harder than all the other apostles, but it was not I really. It was God's grace that was with me. So if I preach to you, or the other apostles preach to you, we all preach the same thing, and this is what you believed. Paul emphasized the teaching of the apostles. Not just his own teaching, but the teaching of the apostles. I think if you studied the apostles and their main function, one would see that this was not a permanent position. The apostles needed to preach the truth. And we see they did a lot of writing too in the New Testament. But once the apostle layer had been brought and been taught and been established, and if it were all that was needed, then there'd be no need for an apostle to teach further. You could tell an apostle, I'm going to come back to that point, but you can tell an apostle because an apostle could do things that no one else could do. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to think, at least in two occasions that I can think of right now, the apostles brought back someone from the dead. This was not one of the gifts that you read about in the book of Corinthians. I know one time, was it Paul who preached to midnight and a young man fell out the window? And of course, Paul went down and raised that young man from the dead. So the apostles could do things that others could not. Were there counterfeit apostles that at least Paul warned about? Oh, yeah. So how is it that you know the real thing from a fake thing? Well, the Treasury Department, I never knew this until I went to Germany. And there in Germany, I learned about this. In the Treasury Department, they don't teach you how to notice counterfeits by showing you counterfeit. You know how they teach you to find out what the real thing is? With real money. They teach you with real money what real money should look like. And so these men, by studying all the characteristics and all the things that are in money, have you looked in money lately? There's different colors in there now, and you'll see little 20s on $20 bills written all over the place, and it's kind of interesting. But they study the real McCoy. They study what a real 20 looks like, a real 50 looks like. And so when there's a difference, they knew. So if we want to know the difference between a counterfeit apostle and a real apostle, we need to study what the real apostles did. What they taught, and how they showed people that they were true apostles. And Paul mentioned this in Romans 15, that one of the things he wanted to do when he came to Rome, he wanted to show them through signs and wonders and miracles that he was a true apostle, and that to the Gentiles. He wanted them to know that he was the real McCoy by doing things, the wonders. But when these signs and miracles and wonders were real and they were there, then mankind had an obligation to listen to these men, to study what these men had to say, and to bring them into their lives, such as the early Christians there in Acts chapter 2. But when these signs were missing, most assuredly, these men were not apostles. So what are these signs? What are these things that set an apostle apart from all other men? First off, and this list is not a complete list. I'm going to be looking at just a few important things. He must have been an eyewitness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he must personally have seen the risen Lord. We saw that in the reading. So now a man must become a witness with us of Jesus being raised from the dead. He must be one of the men who were part of our group during all the time the Lord Jesus was among us, from the time John was baptizing until the day Jesus was taken from us into heavens, was in Mike's reading. Or in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1, Paul says, I am a free man. I am an apostle. I have seen Jesus our Lord. You people are all an example of my work in the Lord. So even Paul had witnessed the risen Lord himself. Secondly, he must have been personally taught divine truth by Jesus Christ. Once again, in the reading, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the good news... No, this is Paul, excuse me, I can't even read my own typing. From Galatians, chapter 1, verse 11, Paul, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the good news I preached to you was not made up by human beings. I did not get it from humans, nor did anyone teach it to me, but Jesus showed it to me. Now down in verse 15 from Galatians 1. But God had special plans for me and set me apart for His work even before I was born. He called me through His grace and showed His Son to me so that I might tell the good news about Him to those who were not Jewish. When God called me, I did not get advice or help from any person. I did not go to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But without waiting, I went away to Arabia and later went back to Damascus. After 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to meet Peter and stay with him for 15 days. I met no other apostles except James, the brother of the Lord. God knows that these things I write are not lies. So even the Apostle Paul was personally taught by the Lord in these revelations. And you know, that was one of his thinking behind why he had a thorn in the flesh. It was because of these revelations from God. Thirdly, an apostle received the gift of divine inspiration, meaning he could write and it be the words of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, or 10 and following, "But God has showed us these things through the Spirit. The Spirit searches out all things, even the deep secrets of God, who knows the thoughts that another person has. Only a person's spirit that lives within him knows his thoughts. It is the same with God. No one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we do not receive the Spirit of the world, but we receive the Spirit that is from God, so that we can know all that God has given us. And we speak about these things, not with words taught us by human wisdom, but with words taught us by the Spirit. And so we explain spiritual truths to spiritual people." And I love, I didn't notice this at first, but this is in 2 Peter, 3rd chapter. And he's writing about Paul's letters. Verse 15. "Remember that we are saved because our Lord is patient. Our dear brother Paul told you the same thing when he wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes about this in all his letters. Some things in Paul's letters are hard to understand." Do I hear amen to that? Even Peter thought so. "And people who are ignorant and weak in the faith explain these things falsely. They also falsely explain the other scriptures. But they are destroying themselves by doing this. Dear friends, since you already know about this, be careful. Do not let those evil people lead you away by the wrong they do. Be careful so you will not fall from your strong faith." Now, did you notice what he said about Peter's letters? What did he call them? Peter called the letter of Paul's scripture. What is scripture? God's word. An apostle also had the power to work various types of miracles to confirm his missions. No need to go on that. We talked about some of that last week. 5, he had the ability to confer miraculous gifts on others. 6, he exercised a position of authority over local churches and could demand obedience and compliance with his teaching. That's what an apostle. And Paul called upon that authority a few times, didn't he? Within some of his letters. An apostle never teaches anything contradictory to the word of God that has already been brought. It's important, isn't it? I love the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 8. "We preached to you the good news." Now, I'm assuming he means himself and the other apostles. "So if we ourselves, or even an angel from heaven, should preach to you something different, we should be judged guilty. I said this before, and now I say it again. You have already accepted the good news. If anyone is preaching something different to you," the New Century Version says he should be found guilty or judged guilty, though I think the NIV puts it differently. Who has the NIV? That's Galatians 1, the end of verse 9. I think King James says he should be anathema. And I think the NIV says internally condemned. You see, Once again, we have a truth being taught by apostles that even by the time of Galatians appeared to be finished. And Paul says, if you hear something being preached differently than what we apostles have taught to you, let them be eternally condemned, because there is no other gospel. And he said, even if I or an angel of heaven come and do it. Once there was a teaching given by the apostles, it could not be changed, not even by an apostle himself. Anything contradicting the teaching, the early teaching of the apostles, was to be judged guilty and eternally condemned. And as we have seen, or as you see when you go through the book of Acts, the preaching of an apostle was done with great power and often, or had great fruitfulness. 3,000 souls on that first sermon. My first sermon didn't win that many souls. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon that won that many souls at once. But with great power. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. The teaching that they brought through the Holy Spirit of God. The church is likened to a spiritual building being raised upon that foundation, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The apostles were the first to teach and preach once Jesus had passed on into, well, not passed on, but gone back to heaven. They were the first proclaimers of true doctrine, and they verified their teaching by miraculous gifts. They were church planters that were commanded to go to where? Everywhere. He says, to the outer parts of the world. I guess Germany could be considered the outer part of the world. And Paul warned about false teaching. As we have already said, so now I say again, this is the NIV, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. I knew I had it somewhere. I couldn't find it. There it was. The work of an apostle and the prophets has been completed and does not need to be repeated. Preaching a new gospel outside of what has been done. When you lay a foundation, unless it's a bad foundation, you don't need to put a new one down. So do we need apostles today? I would say no. Let us learn from the teaching that the apostles gave us in the New Testament. We can see the results there in Jerusalem. The sharing, the happiness, the joy. The sharing of food and their lives was wonderful. Biblical truth has been given. Anything more than what has been given or changes what has been given, Paul said, this brings eternal damnation, doesn't it? Condemned eternally. The apostles played an important role. They taught the foundational teaching of the church. They gave it to us, and we have it within the Word of God in the New Testament. We should appreciate the apostles. Jesus promised them 12 thrones where they would sit and judge with Him. But do we need apostles that bring us new revelation or prophets to bring us new revelation? I don't think, according to Paul, that would be true. How is it with you this evening? Have you read and studied the apostles' teaching? Do you know joy in your life? One of the big fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Do you share and love the brethren? Do you need to put on Jesus tonight in baptism, or do you need the prayers of the church? Then I ask you to come this evening as we stand and sing.